You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Creation.
Vision.
The next idea.
What they have helped us do is to really think in a totally different way about how to deliver and create something new.
Stormwater runoff is one of the major environmental issues facing communities all across the country. It's the rainfall or the snowmelt that runs off the ground, the paved surfaces like parking lots and roads, and usually right into streams, lakes, surface water. So it's a leading cause of water pollution. Researchers from the University of Michigan have come up with a pretty creative way to help manage stormwater and at the same time tackle blight in Detroit neighborhoods. Their solution? Bioretention gardens created in old basements. Here with us is Joan Nassauer, who's a professor with the School of Natural Resources at U of M. Joan, welcome to The Next Idea.
Thank you.
How has stormwater traditionally been controlled in cities?
From the beginning of the 20th century and even in the 19th century, the idea with stormwater was to get it off the surface and underground as quickly as possible. And we did that essentially in pipes. And we call all those pipes that move water from the streets and underground and eventually to streams or lakes, we call that gray infrastructure.
And that is not to be confused with the water systems where water is treated. This just goes, these storm drains just go right out into and drain into water.
Well, actually, it's complicated. Mm. In many cities, including Detroit, the sanitary sewers are combined with the storm system, so that the storm water does not go directly into receiving waters. It goes through the water treatment plant. But therein lies one of the big challenges. The water treatment plants of our great American cities generally have not been built to treat the full capacity of big pushes of water, storm water that come through the system during a spring melt or during a very big storm. And this problem that the treatment systems really can't treat all the sanitary sewage along with all the stormwater in a big storm is even more of a problem as we live with climate change, because part of climate change is big storms are getting bigger.
And I'm thinking just without any effort at all of news video of the flooded freeways and people that have completely destroyed basements because the water has backed up. And as you say, this is becoming more and more frequent.
Yes.
So how do these bioretention gardens work? You're using the basements of torn down houses for this?
So the idea with bioretention gardens is to keep stormwater close to where it falls. In the first project I ever did like this, back in Minnesota in the mid-90s, the civil engineer I worked with had a great way of describing it. He said we were just moving puddles. We're taking puddles and we're putting them underground. And the great thing about that is that that protects the combined sanitary and stormwater system from having too much water in it during big storms. So you keep the stormwater close to the surface. That keeps the sanitary and stormwater combined system running the way you want it to. This worked especially well back in the first project I did in Minnesota, where the area where we were working had very sandy soils. It's easy for water to infiltrate, get below ground, run through sand. It's more of a challenge in Detroit because Detroit has clayey soils, mm-hmm. and if you pour water on clay, it generally runs right off. Yet bioretention needs to be part of the solution in Detroit. As we thought about this challenge, we thought, aha, there are going to be lots of holes in the ground in Detroit where demolitions are happening on blighted structures. What if those holes were filled with sand? And so that would allow the surface stormwater to be held in a very porous area, and kind of substitute for the fact that Detroit soils are not sandy. And that's really the gist of the bioretention concept.
And then as an extra bonus, you're able to plant gardens and beautify what had been a hole.
That's right. And to me, this is really an essential part of thinking about green infrastructure to complement gray infrastructure in our cities. As I said, green infrastructure and bioretention gardens are meant to keep water close to where it falls. That means we're keeping stormwater in neighborhoods, and often those are more visible locations than those pipes underground. So why not make those visible locations that need to be maintained in order to keep the stormwater flowing, why not make them attractive, places that people can really enjoy passing by, living nearby in their neighborhood? That's the approach I've used in designing green infrastructure. Since I did that work in Minnesota 20 years ago, we've used that approach in Chicago. We've suggested solutions like this for Flint and Saginaw. And now, with the collaboration of the Detroit Water and Sewer Department and our research support from the Erb Family Foundation and the U of M Water Center, we've been able to get them built here in Detroit, and we're measuring how well they actually work.
How many have you built so far?
4.
And what's the plan? What are you looking at to expand this?
Well, the construction and technical engineering of all of this work was done by DWSD and their engineering contractor, Tetra Tech. They're moving forward with bioretention as central to their green infrastructure approach throughout Detroit. By 2029, DWSD will invest $50 million in green infrastructure just on the west side of Detroit in the Upper Rouge Basin. So they're finding that this approach works, and they're moving forward with using it.
And I guess I'm wondering, as you say, you've offered this idea elsewhere. Has it been taken up? Are people watching what you're doing in Detroit and then maybe moving forward?
Yes, actually, the work we built in Minnesota in the mid-90s immediately became a kind of model that was adopted throughout the Twin Cities. That work has been emulated widely elsewhere. What's different about that work from what we've been able to do in Detroit is, well, really two things. As I said, the sandy soils in Minnesota made it all quite a bit easier to implement. But on the other hand, the parts of Minnesota, the Twin Cities where I worked, did not have a lot of vacant property. So the fact that Detroit has this vacant property now, it's difficult for people to live with blight, but it's also this enormous opportunity to rethink the way open spaces are integrated into neighborhoods, to rethink the way the dollars that DWSD will spend on managing stormwater can have all of these other benefits for citizens as well. So working in clay soils on demolition sites and working in neighborhoods that have an abundance of vacant property are two ways that the work in Detroit is really entirely new, and we're learning a lot by our social science research, for example, about how much this really is benefiting the residents who live nearby those first 4 bioretention gardens.
What do you hear from residents?
Well, we've done two things. We've worked very closely with the Warrendale Community Organization. All 4 of these first gardens are in the Warrendale neighborhood. And we've worked closely with the Côte Rouge Community Action Alliance. So all along, we've taken our cues from them about how best to communicate with the people who live in the neighborhoods and especially near our garden sites. But also, we have interviewed every household or surveyed every household within 800 feet of the garden sites. So we've got some really good quantitative data. And these data show us that the people who live near the sites anticipate that the gardens will increase their property values, that they'll feel much safer in their neighborhoods, that they'll get out walking more, and that essentially their neighborhoods will just be more attractive places to live. And those are all data that we've analyzed using statistical techniques and with a very good survey. We're going to go back now that the gardens have been in place about a year and survey those households again next year to see what they think now.
I'm just curious, Joan, what have you found in terms of maintaining the gardens? How much work goes into that?
So one of the really great things, I think, about the approach, the multifunctional approach that we take in designing green infrastructure is that these gardens are essential to the stormwater functions that DWSD manages. That means that DWSD maintains these gardens. The gardens benefit from what nearby residents notice that needs to be done. It's always great if a nearby resident sees a weed and pulls it. I've been out there visiting the sites myself, seen some weeds that needed to be pulled, and found myself standing next to a neighbor who also was pulling weeds. But essentially, the garden, the commitment to maintaining the gardens, to mowing them, to keeping them watered, is DWSD's commitment, and that's just a beautiful example of multifunctionalism. DWSD needs to maintain these gardens. People living nearby benefit.
Absolutely. A great example, as you say, multifunctionalism. And you'll find Joan Nassar's essay on the Next Idea page. Just go to michiganradio.org. Joan is a professor in the School of Natural Resources at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much for sharing your work with us on the Next Idea. It's really exciting.
Cynthia, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Support for the Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.
Coming up, Michigan's juvenile lifers. Who gets a second chance? After the break, we kick off our week-long series of special reports looking at juvenile lifers in Michigan and the efforts to resentence many of them. You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.